Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Jordan Roybren, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, let's focus a lot on silver because I've gotten just so many comments on people being bullish silver and silver stocks in 2021. Before we get into some of the underlying stocks, silver right now trading, let's say right around this 26 level. This is a pretty key level because you look at the breakout that silver had earlier this year when it blew above really $20. The resistance was right around that $19 level. It took off in the later part of July and ran the whole way up to almost $30 on the spot market and then pulled back and really just has been within this range, about $30 on the high side, about $22.50 on the low side. And now we're almost right in the middle of this range. What is so important about this 26 level, Jordan?
Okay, well, 26, if you draw a line from, if you draw a line at 26 since July, you can see that it has been, at first it was kind of support during the initial part of the correction, and silver broke down, although it wasn't, you know, it broke down and then it made its low immediately. But when it broke below 26, that was the breakdown there. Then when silver has been basing and trying to rally since September, 26 has been resistance, or you could say 2550, or around 26. Now that's in the short term. However, if you go back many years and you go back 10 or 11 years and you look at a chart, as I'm doing right now as I'm talking to you, 26 is a very important resistance level. Because if you go back to 2011, 2012, when silver was correcting in 2011, 2012, before it had that big breakdown at the end of 2012 and into 2013, it basically stopped at 26 or 27, I don't know exactly, three different times. And then the fourth time it really broke down. So on the way back up, this 26, 27 level is going to be very stiff. So it's going to be very stiff on a monthly and also a quarterly basis. So even though, I mean, breaking above 26 now in the next couple of days, I mean, we have the monthly close and the yearly close coming up, which is very significant. And then the next day we'll have the weekly close. So looking at those levels at 27, 28 and 26 as well, it is really stiff resistance. So it's going to be interesting to see, because even if silver can close above 26 here, which, I mean, it's kind of done the last couple of days, but hasn't taken it out with a real bullish thrust. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, can this move continue up to 28 or 29, where there's that very stiff resistance? And from there, if silver corrects and consolidates, you know, it would set up a bullish consolidation in a mini cup and handle pattern, which could potentially get silver into the mid 30s. So that's the really bullish outlook. But just stepping back, the key takeaways are, you know, the 26 to 28 level, there's some serious long-term resistance there. So silver could reach 28, 28.50 and trade in that area. But it even if it does that and it breaks 26, then it hasn't convincingly broken past 27 or 28, which is very stiff resistance, you know, going back a decade. So there's a lot of nuance to that view, Corey. I've been saying that word a lot lately, but it's not as simple as, okay, silver's broken above 26, now it's going to go to 30, and then eventually 35, 36. I mean, that's possible, but we need to see how it acts around, you know, 27, 28, because there's a lot of long-term resistance at that level, and including 26 as well.
Yeah, fair enough. It's really a lot of noise in and around this level that silver needs to work to get above. And I see those levels back in 2011 and 2012. It was 26.15, 26.14, and then 26-10 that was holding until the breakdown happened in 2013. But overall, okay, so this 26, 27, 28 region, there's just a lot of work that Silver will have to do to get through these levels. But then even as you said, if it can break above these levels, and it might take some time, then the door is open to the mid-30s. Are there any moving averages too, Jordan, that you are watching closely on any time frame chart when it comes to the silver price?
To be honest, not really. I mean, it's more... I mean, silver has regained the 50-day moving average, so it has momentum in the short term. It's still a good distance above its 200-day, which is at 2144. So silver, I mean, other than the short-term moving averages, it's really a ways above the longer-term moving averages, which is fine. But I would like to see silver, even if it's able to hold this move above 26 and then retest 29 or 30. I would like to see it consolidate for at least a couple months or maybe even several months and just kind of let the moving averages catch up and just kind of blunt the momentum and the really positive sentiment of the market. Because one issue with silver, Corey, is it tends to make really strong moves in a short amount of time. And that's something that would worry me. Like if silver were to suddenly, you know, in the coming months, just blow above 2930 and get to 35. I mean, there's a lot of long-term resistance in that area. So, I mean, I'm not predicting that, but if that were to happen, like if it would get to 35 in the first half of the year, I mean, that could be a peak for months and months, just because it would be so stretched at that point. And given the long-term resistance, there's major quarterly resistance, I think, around 35. So that's kind of, and again, I'm not predicting anything. I'm just raising the scenario. We'd all be excited if silver were to break above 30 and get to 35. But that would be my concern. If it does it too quickly, then you're talking about the moving averages. Then if that were to happen, then silver would just be dramatically above all these long-term moving averages. And then if you do a historical analysis, you factor in the resistance at 35 and the fact that silver would be so far above all these long-term moving averages, then you would have to conclude that it could be setting up for a significant correction at that point.
Okay. Now, Jordan, outside of the charts, as I mentioned on the intro, I've just been hearing a lot of good results or a lot of positive outlooks for silver. What does that mean to you when it seems like everybody is on the bullish side of this trade or at least on their projections for next year for silver?
Well, we have to marry anecdotal sentiment with indicators that are based on data. Everybody likes to use anecdotes and they always say, oh, well, I knew it was going to be a top when this guy said this, or, you know, my Uber driver said he was buying, you know, gold stocks or Bitcoin. I knew it. And yeah, anecdotal sentiment makes for great fodder, but you have to really marry that with the data. And looking at the data, Corey, the net spec position, well, let me step back a second. You go back 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, if I remember correctly, a lot of sentiment indicators were at a low. They were pretty close to 2 or 3 year low. So that was really encouraging for the sector, silver and gold. The net spec positions are getting to be a little high. I think in the last 2 years, the nominal peaks for silver have come around 100,000 contracts. And I think the last look I had a week ago or so, I think it was getting close to 70,000 contracts. So there is room on the sentiment side, Corey, for silver to continue to move higher, to perhaps test 2930, over the next couple months. However, as you point out, there's a lot of excitement about silver and the junior companies, and that does give me a little bit of pause, just because the quality of junior companies out there in silver right now, Corey, is just, it's not as high as I think it has been in the past. And a lot of these companies, like almost all of them, there's some kind of larger juniors that you could say are more, I guess you could kind of say they're mid-tiers, but There's some quality ones that are a little too large for my liking. But if you're just looking at, you know, kind of the pure silver juniors, there's a lot of risk because just there's a lot of flaws out there in these companies. And what's happened in this latest move, just including most of the year, is that it's hard to find value in public silver companies because we had this massive move higher in the sector. So everything silver was getting bid up. And yeah, that's great. But the downside of that is this is completely different than a year ago. I mean, a year ago, there were a lot of companies with ounces in the ground that were just super, super cheap. And maybe they had a lot of flaws. But, you know, I don't mind buying something with flaws if it's really, really cheap. But the problem now is it's hard to find that kind of setup. It's just a lot of these silver junior companies have flaws. And yeah, things are going great right now, but you just have to be careful because if, you know, at some point in the next couple of years, if we get a top in this market and a serious correction, I don't mean like a 5-year correction, but you make a top and you get a serious correction for a year or so. I mean, a lot of these junior silver companies could, you know, they could drop 50 or 60%. So I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying, look, we have to weigh both sides of the equation. We have to understand what the risks are in some of these stocks. And again, I'm not predicting that's going to happen this year. I don't think it's going to happen, but you just have to keep that in mind that you can't hold these things for like 3 or 5 years. You just can't because you're going to lose a lot of your profits at some point.
Fair enough. You need to be, or at least you need to have the wherewithal to take some profits when they present themselves. And yeah, not get just stuck married to certain trades thinking that they're going to go up forever. I think the last 10 years taught us that, or at least it should have. Jordan, what about the discrepancy that we're seeing between the silver juniors and the larger cap silver stocks? Because we've been hearing a lot about how good the silver juniors have been, and you even outlined there that there are a lot of flaws in these silver juniors, but they're outperforming the miners. Why is that happening? What do you take away from that?
Okay, here's the answer. The reason is if you're looking at SILJ, which is the juniors, and SIL, which is the larger silver companies, there's no pure large silver company, except for maybe First Majestic. And I mean, if you look at all the other ones, they've gone into gold. So these large silver companies that are a part of SIL, they have too much gold. And so they're not really pure silver companies. And so that's why the juniors, which are purely silver, and a lot of those are base metals as well, that's why SILJ is outperforming SIL. Remember, we were talking about this, I don't know if it was 5 or 6 months ago. Remember, it was the opposite when SIL was doing really well and then the silver juniors were not. And it was just a function of gold was strongly outperforming silver. Now it's the opposite. Silver has been performing better than gold. And so the pure silver companies, which there's so few of them and they're very small, those are in the SILJ, whereas SIL is silver, larger silver companies, which are not pure silver companies anymore because they've gotten into gold. So that's the answer.
Okay. And how much is the silver, I guess, strength or stability, also gold, tying into the U.S. dollar and the continued breakdown, or I guess we can call it breakdown, close to breakdown in the U.S. dollar? The dollar right now is under 90 on that dollar index.
Well, I haven't looked at this very recently, but several months ago when I looked at it, silver tends to perform better in a weak dollar environment or during a environment of a declining dollar. It performs better than gold, so it's a little bit more silver strength is a little bit more tied to the dollar. Dollar weakness, I should say. However, you know, we talked about it last time, Corey. Pull up a 10-year chart. You can see there's a lot of support around 88. So it's going to be interesting to see. I know the dollar hasn't quite fallen to 88 yet, but that's really strong long-term support. And it's just something to keep in mind before you get too bullish on the silver sector. If it confirms this break above 26, you know, we could see some more upside in the short term. However, Corey, got to be aware of the dollar coming down to that 88 level. It's really strong support on the monthly chart. And we just need to be aware of it because that could be a point where this strength in silver starts to abate.
Okay. Jordan, thanks for taking a look into silver. As I mentioned, the last couple of weekend shows, it feels like everybody was telling me silver stocks next year. That gives me a little bit of an uneasy feeling moving into next year, but I think it's important to drive down into the stocks, and there are some good silver stocks out there, but boy, oh boy, you really need to be careful in that sector because there are a lot of stocks that may market themselves as silver stocks, but diving into what actually happens there, well, they're very different. They're not necessarily pure play silver stocks. All right, Jordan, thanks for taking some time. I hope you have a very happy new year, buddy. I'll chat with you in the new year, and I will also post a link to your website. Thanks again for your time, Jordan.